Ooh, it's spooky, 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 spooky. It's Fans of Patrol time, and everything is spooky. Today is Halloween, and we are here to do our show and get you out there so you can trick or treat. Matter of fact, take this show with you and just play it, and it'll scare the hell out of anybody that would come up to your house. My name is Montego Bradley, host of Fans of Patrol, and it's a lonely, cold day. It's just me and one other person, and her name is
Akita O'Aki,
aka Jessica, or you should have just said Dwayne Williams, S-O,
yeah,
S-M-O-O. Anyway,
since I'm sitting in his chair this time.
Yep, she's sitting in your chair, dude. You're getting replaced. There it is. So today is Halloween, and we got a little Halloween themed show as best as we possibly could. And let's see, we're gonna be talking about best horror flicks of all time today. We're going to be talking about the Suicide Squad picks that was in Empire Magazine. What else are we going to talk about? Definitely what you're watching. We got Crisis on Infinite Podcast. Our gaming section is pretty robust. We Are Robin and Justice League, The Dark Side War, Batman number one.
Yeah.
In comics, our Supergirl impressions, and that'll be it. And, you know, main topic is these scary movies and stuff, something we didn't do last year on Fans on Patrol. We never really talked about horror movies because we're mostly into fan stuff, but horror fans are fans too, and they show up at all the same places that we show up at anyway. So before I move on, how was things with you today?
Pretty good, pretty good. Got an extension on my homework, so I don't have to worry about trying to rush to get it done.
Right, so just procrastinate a little further. Come over here and podcast. Go trick-or-treat tonight. Go to the bar. Do everything you're supposed to not do. So anyway, I wish you guys could. Well, I put a picture out on Instagram today. Akita came up, she came over dressed up, and now I feel like a jerk. So some of our posse couldn't make it today, but so they're here in spirit. Anyway, let's get started. October 31st, 2015. First impressions, Suicide Empire Magazine picks. So, have you seen some of the picks?
Yeah, I saw
it. Did you
see
all of them or just some of them?
I saw some of them. I saw the one that had, what was her name, Margaret Robbie, like facing sideways with the bat. And then I think it had like Will Smith next to her. I saw like some panel ones.
Yeah, I think they dropped four. Maybe more than that, because the first one I saw was this one, the full body shot of the Joker, and it was like really had all these wild colors in the back and stuff. Then later on in the day, they had a different one, was all purple, and he had like the jumper cables from that scene where he's like, I'm just gonna hurt you really, really bad in the trailer.
Yeah.
And that one to me is the coolest pick, because they had all that shiny metallic purple, like his jacket was like that shiny pimped out metallic purple. And they had you said the Will Smith one, the Deadshot one, and what else did they have? They had the Enchantress that had a blue background, and one of the characters in the Suicide Squad that I have at least amount of knowledge of. I know about the Enchantress in the Marvel universe, but this one, apparently her backstory is kind of like some spirit is driving the truck, you know, if her body is a truck, you know.
Oh, okay. So she's like got
possessed and stuff, and it's just,
but they've done that with other characters. I don't know necessarily about any of the ones I would know. And well, there's quite a few in DC. You put on a helmet or you do something and it takes you over.
Good grab right there, Dr. Fate. Right. I didn't even think about that, but her thing is kind of the same story, that, you know, the actual person is just a vessel, and she, like, this spirit has stolen the body and is using the body and stuff. So her pick was pretty freaking dark, man. You know, every time I see that character, it's like, what the hell is that? You know, she looked like, you know what she reminds me of? You remember King Kong, the Peter Jackson King Kong, where the villagers had all that white chalk and stuff all over them. She looks like one of those people. Like, she would fit right in that scene, you know, where everybody started getting speared and stuck and killed and maimed in the beginning of King Kong.
I don't really know much about her either. Like, I've seen people dress up her at cons, but I've never, like, that's actually how I end up seeing new characters from comic books, is I see people dressed up as it, and then I'm like, who is this character? And then I kind of go look it up. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not like a mainstream character and it's something that they made in like 1960s and they was first in this comic book, I usually don't know who they are.
Yeah, well, so they had her. It had Will Smith, and the Deadshot costume looks awesome, especially with the helmet. The helmet is like, almost like when it, with the helmet on, it's like, you know, comic book, you know, 100%.
Yeah.
So they showed a lot of the pics inside the book. They had it looks like a flashback scene, we assume, of Harley Quinn, Harley Quinzel, not Harley Quinn, but Harley Quinzel, the doctor, Dr. Harley Quinzel, sitting at a counselor's table with the Joker. You know,
and she's in the actual psychiatric ward with him.
Exactly. Straight out of Mad. I think the story that introduced her backstory was Mad Love in the comics. Not even in the comics. That was on the cartoon Batman animated series, Mad Love. And so it seems like this movie is shaping up to be more about the two of them than it is about any of the other characters, you know, which is something else. They dropped something online this week saying that it's going to be a love triangle. You know, so
a love triangle.
Well, in the comics, and in a lot of the stories, once, you know, she hated Mr. J. You know, she loves Mr. J. You know, but she ended up hating Mr. J. And then she got on the Suicide Squad team and started liking Deadshot.
Oh, okay.
You know, matter of fact, it's an animated movie. What is the name of that movie? I think it's called Suicide Squad. Maybe came out about a year ago. Where that's the crux of the story. And Deadshot ends up hitting it, not because he was going after her, just because she came in his room butt naked and stuff. It was like, come on, batter up.
That's,
and he was just like,
gonna.
He was like, what the hell? And so when the Joker, when they were doing a thing, the Joker sees her and she's like, I have a new boo. And he's like, what the hell? So then he goes like nuts, you know, even though all he does is abuse her and stuff like that. You know, I'm pretty sure that with them jumper cables and I'm going to hurt you really bad, I'll be willing to bet money that's Harley Quinn on that table getting hurt.
Yeah, because I play. But the weird part is I actually played through. That's one of the things that I got to play when I played through Arkham, is they have her as you can play like her little stage.
That was a cool little level.
Yeah, you get to see what's going on in her mind, and then you just like, this girl is psychotic.
Yeah. Especially when she did a little rage and stuff. And
yeah,
that was probably one of my favorite parts of that game, when, you know, after it was all done and stuff, they gave you her little story. It was pretty cool. So there's been news from the Indiana Jones front. You know, we all been waiting for a new Indiana Jones movie. Disney brought that from LucasArts too.
Oh.
And now, you know, I've been one of those guys saying I wouldn't mind if they rebooted the Indiana Jones character and made him younger like James Bond.
It would be nice, but I'm just wondering who could pick up the mantle and do a really good job.
Well, that's the problem. Well,
yeah.
Producer Frank Marshall came out and he was speaking to Total Film. And he said that there's been a lot of rumors about all that stuff, but they're not rebooting any. They're not doing the Bond thing. And I'm sitting there. I'm sorry. I just watched the stupid cat do something dumb. He said they weren't doing the Bond thing. What they were going to do is they were going to keep doing what they're doing with Harrison Ford. Now, I hated Island of the Crystal Skull. Hated it, you know. And Indy looked pretty old in that movie. But then when I see the stills from Star Wars and see the trailer from Star Wars, yes, he looks old, but he doesn't look as old as he did as Indy, you know. And the problem, I think, with the Indy character is that even when he was in his 30s, he acted real old, you know. He was like, it's not the years, it's the mileage, you know. And it was like, he was just like, oh, I'm so beat up. So the indie character is just an old character too. So, but they're gonna, you know,
if they continue to do it, and he was already old and broke down, is he just gonna have a cane and like be really?
Well, they did the last movie, and he was pretty old, you know. And you know, I don't know if I like the playing up the old thing. You know what I'm saying? I kind of like an iconic character like that.
It would be interesting if they did something where he found an artifact, and if they were gonna pick a new person to do the mantle, the artifact made him young again. And it was him, but he reversed.
I completely disagree with that bull crap. I mean,
if they don't want to change the character and make a new one, then I don't know what they would do.
Because
he's going to age out of it eventually.
You can let it go if that's what you're going to do. It gets to the point that.
Why don't they just do comic books?
What are you talking about?
Like, do Indiana Jones comic books? Do they have one?
No, they used to do. They didn't sell. Back in the day, they did do comic books.
Yeah, because it's action, and people probably want to see a person jumping on a vine and, like, actually going through an arc.
Well, we'll see. They're gonna make another one, and hopefully it won't be the Crystal Skull, something like that. It'd be something different. And I don't know. Again, I didn't like the age play up. I mean, you had to address it, but that whole movie was about him being old, you know, everything. But he still got it, but he's old, you know.
But see, the thing is, when people go to watch movies, they want to see a fantasy world. They don't care that the person is old. James Bond could be 70, but he better be shooting guns and be jumping out of helicopters. And no, people just want to see the person do the cool stuff. They don't want to know about them being broke down. I think they could have just did it and been like, I'm Indiana regardless, and fine.
They played up on it a lot. So, moving on, Hollywood A-lister Matthew McConaughey, he really recently turned down the villain role in the Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, which I don't know how I feel about that. So, it was an undisclosed role of a villain. They're not saying who the exact villain was going to be.
I don't know if I could actually even see Matthew McConaughey being like
a villain. He's a person. Did you ever see what was the name of that movie with the dragons? Oh hell, he played the hero / villain in this movie back in the '90s. Man, it starred Christian Bell and him, and I'm sure a bunch of our fans out there are like, "You idiots! It's so and so, Reign of Fire."
I remember that movie.
Reign of Fire. He was like he wasn't a bad guy, but he played a badass role. But he came off as a bad guy in the beginning, but then he ended up like doing some heroic stuff. You know, he was like the little in charge of those little guys, American soldiers that came into the thing. He was a pretty scary dude in that movie. I mean, he's played the dude is an Academy Award winning actor. He can play anything he wants to, but maybe that's the reason why he's like, nope, don't want to do superhero, because I don't think he's ever done anything. I think Reign of Fire was probably the most superhero-y type of thing that
he's ever done. Yeah, I don't think I've seen him in too many like movies that were going towards side.
Well, he did Sahara back in 2005, and that was supposed to be like an Indiana Jones esque type of character, and they was gonna, you know, try to do a series on that, but the movie tanked and didn't make no money, so they kept going. So anyway, he turned that down, and so he's not gonna be in the next Guardians of the Galaxy, and they've been casting people left and right for undisclosed roles and stuff like that. So it would, I mean, whatever. Next, you know, we'll see who else is going to step up to the plate. So, you know who B.D. Wong is?
Who's B.D. Wong?
B.D. Wong, longtime Asian actor. He, the first time I ever paid attention to him, he was on Oz. Do you remember Oz, the prison show that used to?
Yeah, I didn't watch too many of them.
He was the priest on Oz, and then he played a long standing role on Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. He was like the criminal psychologist.
Oh, okay.
And he was in Jurassic Park. He was the Asian doctor in the very first Jurassic Park when the dinosaurs were being born. Then he was just in his last Jurassic Park as pretty much a villain, working with the villains, not the villain, but pretty much the villain. I mean, the dinosaurs was the villain, but
yeah.
But so he's gonna be playing Dr. Hugo Strange of the Batman universe on the up and coming episodes of Gotham, and I think that's pretty slick. I mean, Hugo Strange that's big time, and so he's never been portrayed as an Asian dude before.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
But it doesn't matter, you know, not with a character like that. You know, it's just he's just a. An evil dude, but brilliant. And so he's going to be on Gotham, I guess, before the end of the season. Because they're still, I think they're just, as far as taping right now, those things are like at their halfway mark. You know, they're actually doing the shows that pass the halfway mark because, you know, they didn't finish them all, you know, so.
Yeah.
So that's the news for today, Akita. That's what we got for today. I mean, there was plenty more news, but that's all we got to concentrate on today. So let's get to what you're watching.
All right, yeah.
What are you watching?
What I'm watching was Kung Fury.
You are taking Dwayne's spot today. What is Kung Fury?
Kung Fury is I think it's an independently produced like short movie that's on YouTube. Basically, it like plays off of video games and a bunch of other concepts. And the main character got his kung fu powers after his partner was killed by a ninja, and he got a new partner known as Triceracop, which is actually a triceratop that's a cop, and the villain is...
Wait a minute. Is this animation?
It's not animation.
Really?
I mean, it has animation in it, and the villain is a Nazi. Actually, it's Adolf Hitler, who is also a kung fu master, and he has to go back...
Who wrote this thing?
...in time... He ends up going back in time, but he ends up in Vikings time, and he ends up seeing Thor, like the god Thor. Mm-hmm. So he puts him through another portal, and he has to go back in time to like Germany to beat up Kung Fu, the Kung Fu master Adolf Hitler. It's ridiculous.
It sounds
it's really ridiculous. You know, I tried the best it I'm trying to explain to, it.
I'm trying to you know.
It's like every bad like 90s movie that you can think of that was a Kung Fu movie mixed together. Well, like Double Dragon, Street Fighter.
I'm trying to like crap on this movie, and then I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, it's sounding pretty awesome, man. You know, it's
the theme song is actually by David Hasselhoff. It's called True Survivor. Wow. Yeah. Ooh. It's like really crazy.
Now you ruined it. You didn't threw that guy in there. So
he's not in the movie. He just made the song for the movie.
Heard that goofy voice come on, trying to sound tough and deep. Anyway, so what's the name of that flick?
Kung Fury.
You should probably send that over to the Coke 45 posse. That sounds like something that they would review. Anyway, speaking of not even speaking of that. What am I watching? What did I watch this week? I had a tripped out week because I went on vacation. And I came back from vacation and I missed most of my shows. I missed Walking Dead, but it's been spoiled to hell. So I'm gonna watch it probably tomorrow. What I did get a chance to watch is I got a chance to watch The Flash this week.
Oh, and, yeah, I watched it too.
And all I can say is that The Flash, week after week, the show is just going for it, and they're not like taking any side steps or nothing, and they're just going for it, man. And it's just like so refreshing that they're not trying to tiptoe or not do this. They're doing exactly what they want to do. They had a King Shark,
yeah,
at the end of the show. And you know what? I was like, damn, it don't even look bad, man. I was like, look at it, man. He was holding Barry Allen in a hand, and I was like, wow, they got King Shark in this damn show.
I like how they played it up in the beginning, like it wasn't something that was real.
Yeah, like
they
yeah,
didn't he was know. Like you, maybe it was a crazy person saying that they saw a walking shark, and then you get to the end, and it really is.
Yeah, that
big shark man.
That was pretty cool. But the whole episode, I could see there. You know, they're going into the Patty character with the love interest there, and I'm trying to think of what else happened on the show because they didn't have Jay Garrick on the show, which I was surprised about. But they did all the Firestorm stuff and, you know, got the doctor repaired to go over to Heroes of Tomorrow, because that show will be about a month or so. It'll be coming out in the hiatus of Flash and stuff. They're going to throw in Heroes of Tomorrow. And so they got a counterpart for the doctor. And so then you got the stuff with the Atom going on, you know, and you know, Ray Palmer wasn't there.
Then you have like the emotional, like family stories that are going on. Like
I said, Ray Palmer. Hold up for 1 second. I had the wrong. I'm sorry. I just brought in Arrow. I'm sorry. Wrong damn show because I watched that. I'm sorry. But you're right. They had the thing with the mother, which I'm not interested in at all now. That's a totally stupid storyline. It just is. I'm like, okay, all right, show. Oh, she dying. Oh, y'all about to have to sit down.
The only way that would end up becoming something interesting
if she like turned a super villain or
if
something.
She turned into a meta human.
Something. Yeah.
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 Like.
Yeah. And why are you dying? Because of this experiment. Now I'm creepy. Something. Yeah. It's a shitty storyline right now. That's the only thing that's suffering. But yeah, I brought the Arrow in there real quick. Anyway, let's keep moving. I can't believe I did it. Anyway. The skies are turning red, and if you've been listening to this podcast, you know that means that it's time for our Crisis on Infinite podcast question. Crisis on Infinite podcast, our nerd podcast mafia, brethren and sisterin, would be, do you know?
Soul Wizard.
Soul Wizard.
Open All Powers.
Yes, indeed.
Back Issue.
No, Door of All Trades.
Yes, of course.
Back Issue Podcast.
Convo Cast?
Conversational Comics Cast. Mm. Right, and us. And so we bounce a lot of questions.
Oh, yeah, we can't forget Code 45.
Did we forget Code 45?
Yeah, we did.
How did I watch your pucka chicka pucka chicka? Code 45. When you need something to drink and watch a movie too. Anyway, yeah, I don't know how I forgot those cats. But yeah, so we've been rolling with those all these podcasts and, you know, then got beyond, you know, we became super friends. And so. We bounce these questions off from week to week, and so let's just take a look. Now, I have two questions here, but I don't think we're going to do two questions. We'll save one for next week in case somebody's not on his job, because we skipped the Conversation of Comics Cast question the other week, and I don't know why, but it just slipped my mind or something. So here's the question. She says, this is from Tiff from Conversation of Commerce Cast. My question is, what do you think you would really be into if you didn't have nerd hobbies? Do you think you would have a podcast about it? Pretty interesting question. So you're not into comics, you're not into cosplay, you're not into nerdy stuff, you're not into, you know, nerdy movies. What would you be into?
Maybe I would be podcasting about social work problems or something.
No, you
like
wouldn't.
School.
No, you wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't. I'm joking. I'm trying to think of what were my hobbies before.
Before nerdom?
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty much into music, so maybe I would be on a podcast that has something to do with, like, different types of independent music that's not mainstream or something. Like, going to concerts and talking about the experience.
That's part of the question, though, Akita. Okay, so you're saying that you would probably be into music if it wasn't into this nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think you would have a podcast about it? Because that's... It's not saying would you podcast. It's actually, you know, would you be that passionate like you are into nerdy stuff that you would actually podcast about it? I mean,
yeah, because when I was younger, I was pretty passionate about music. I wanted to be a singer, so I probably would have wanted to be on the air.
Got you.
Like a disc jockey, like, yeah.
Oh, well, you can always do a podcast spinning records and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, it was twofold. I do play instruments and stuff, but, you know, music was cool, but I went to like a school of performing arts and stuff like that, and I just got so sick of it.
That's kind of what happened to me.
You know, and I mean, I played afterwards, but I can't say that I was passionate about playing. I mean, it's cool when you perform, but I just got out of it. The other people that were in my school who were so into it, they got on my goddamn, excuse me, they got on my nerves with it because they made it seem like it was bigger than what it really was. And a lot of them people end up becoming like stars and stuff like that. And
a lot of the people that love them. Walked around my school wanting to be celebrities and stars.
No.
They bank tellers now.
Well, from the school I went to, a lot of these people have had careers and still do have careers, you know, and they're kind of big time. But I just never cared that much, and so I wouldn't say it was music, you know, even though I played instruments. I used to love sports. I still love sports, and so I would think it would be sports for me. I don't think I would podcast about it because sports is cool, but then I get shitty because anytime, like right now, I'm not watching any sports because they have gotten on my nerves, professional athletes, you know, with the money and all that stuff.
And then I don't know, because they do so many shows for sports, like they'll recap
white
the
noise.
Game,
yeah, you're
and
right.
Then they'll do another recap of that game, and then they'll have the people talking about the people who did the recap of the game. Yeah. It's just too much.
Yeah.
In other countries, they don't do that. People play the game, they see who won, and then
go home. Yeah.
They drink and party in the streets, and then it's done. Yeah. They don't have 18 specials about one football game.
But you know, here's the crux of the whole thing. You know, I've been a undercover nerd half my life, and a out of the closet nerd for the other half, and it's a lot has to do with who I am. You know, sports never did that for me, neither did music. I mean, I love all this shit, all of it. You know what I'm saying? I always have. And so I don't think I would be the person I know I wouldn't be the person that I am today if it wasn't for nerd culture, especially.
I don't think so either.
I told this story. I don't know if I told this story on the podcast before, but I had a super lack of role model, you know, growing up and as a young kid. So I swear to Christ, Batman and Superman was my moral compass, man. Depending on how I felt, it was depending on, you know, what would Jesus do? What would Batman do? What would Superman do? And I made a lot of moral decisions being a younger dude, thinking about what my heroes would do. And so I wouldn't be this person if it wasn't for my love of that culture. So
I feel the same way because I grew up in a pretty bad neighborhood. There wasn't too much to... I lived in the projects. There was a lot of drugs and violence and stuff. So for me, going and getting into video games and comic books was an escape. It was something different from what I saw when I went outside. It wasn't just like seeing glass and, you know, all the broken stuff you see.
So you don't think movies would have did that for you? I mean, not movies.
I don't
music.
Think so.
Yeah.
I think it's because the pop culture, because I don't just read comic books. I was more so probably in the games first.
Yeah.
Took me to different places because when you play a video game, you kind of become a character. And we didn't have money to go on vacation when I was a kid. So playing a video game was a vacation to me. I got to go to a bunch of distant places. sitting in my house.
I know exactly how you feel. That was movies for me, especially when I got to the point that I was old enough to go to see my own movies. I always went by myself because I didn't want anybody else there. So because I wanted to immerse myself. So that's pretty good damn. That's a whole topic conversation for a podcast. But we're gonna cut it off right there. We're gonna take our first break. We'll be right back with In Gaming.
Yeah.
So sit tight. Here we come. Right, so it's gaming time. What we got, Akita?
What is new in gaming is Street Fighter V is finally got a release date. It's coming out February 16, 2016. And that's going to be for PC and PS4. I don't know if they're going to turn around and do something where they decide to make it not exclusive, but right now it's still exclusive.
You know what? A lot of those not exclusive games, give them a year or 8 months, then they're no longer exclusive and stuff. But who cares? I mean, Street Fighter got a big, I remember seeing that E3. That's a big deal for them.
Yeah, I think they're releasing 5 new characters, and they've been showing all of the stuff about all of the new characters every other week.
People still play those games, though, right? People still like those Street Fighter games.
Well, people actually professionally play them. Like, they have the Major League of Gaming, and people play them for charity. And they get paid a lot of money to play it with the, but you, they play, these people play with arcade sticks. You know, a person is seriously into fighting games when they pull out the arcade stick, not a controller. Then we got No Man's Sky. This is a sci-fi exploration game.
I remember that game. That game has been coming out for 2 years now.
It looks pretty sweet because you get to fly to different planets. You know what, though? Explore.
Let me tell you something, though. I've watched that game for 2 years now at E3, and I still don't know what you do once you get to the planet. I mean, it was all pretty and it was very vast, but once they got to the planet, I was like, what's the plot?
Well, one of the planets that they showed that I saw was there was these big, huge creatures on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you're going to be hunting or fighting something.
I saw that, but again, they haven't played up the story to this game at all.
I think people might just be interested in the ideal, because there's a lot of games where you just explore. There are things that can kill you, but it's not necessarily the main part of the point of the game. It's basically you get to fly on a spaceship and go to a bunch of planets.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
it's exploration. It's something, I mean, for a person who wants to explore space for real, it might be interesting for a person who can't, you know, go to school to be an astronaut.
Got you. What's else going on?
Xbox One Experience. So basically, you're going to be able to play your beloved 360 titles on the Xbox One, and they are getting a new dashboard.
Is that, you know, they've been talking about that for a while. Since E3, and I guess it wasn't ready. So is it ready now?
Yeah, it is. I think, but what I think it's going to be is it's going to be like how you have episodes. You're going to have to download different ones. Like, you're not going to get just be able to play all the games immediately. They're going to constantly upgrade.
Now, I'm sitting here and I'm trying to think of a game that I have on 360, because I still have my 360s and I still have my games. So I'm trying to think if it's something that I would want to really play on my Xbox One. And I cannot think of anything that I just wouldn't boot up my 360 and play. I don't know. I keep my consoles, and I know a lot of people don't.
Well, part of the thing is a lot of my friends don't have Xbox One, so I could pop a 360 title into the Xbox One and still play with them and interact with them through the Xbox One interface instead of having to go back to 360. It'll make it where those people could play with each other.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Next.
All right. And what you should already be playing. Assassin's Creed Syndicate came out. I'm usually not a big fan of Assassin's Creed, but this one actually looked cool. Like, I saw the little cutscene and them fighting on top of the moving trucks.
It's got a lot of good reviews, and I was all set not to buy this one. I haven't made up my mind whether if I'm going to buy it yet. I mean, I like to load up on a lot of games, just me personally, for Christmas. So I have stuff for myself for Christmas, and then I spend the whole winter playing those fall releases and stuff. And so I don't know, man. I don't know. I heard some good things about it. I might get it.
And Tales from the Borderland Episode 5, Vault of the Traveler, is coming out. I guess the Tales from the Borderland,
was that an expansion pack or something like that?
I think it's an actual separate game kind of telling you some of the backstory of some of the stuff that happened before the events of Borderland 1 and 2.
Gotcha.
And it's done in episodes like they did with the Walking Dead game that they had.
Ah. Yeah. Oh, so this is So wait a minute. So is this a phone game or?
It's an actual, it's an Xbox title. You go and download the episodes through like your.
It's only Xbox? It's not anything else?
I believe it's Xbox, PS4, and all the other systems. Gotcha. I think you just have to go through the store to buy it. It's a digital game.
Oh, it's digital download. It's not a disc. Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Oh, gotcha.
And, of course, Guitar Hero Live.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of Guitar Hero, but my friends definitely got me into it when they played.
Is that the one that they've been playing in the TV commercials and stuff?
That's the one that they've been...
Was that Rock Band or Guitar? Did they drop both of those? Or is it Rock Band and Guitar Hero just got new games, or is it just Guitar Hero?
Guitar Hero, I think is what they've been playing when they've been showing a little competition between Arrow and Flash. I think there is a new Rock Band coming out, but I don't think it released yet. I'm pretty sure it was Guitar Hero that came out October 20th.
Yeah, my wife we used to play these all the time, and now that they kind of resurging, and she was like, go get it for Christmas so we can have fun again. So, yeah, I'll probably be buying that.
And then, out this week...
Oh, yeah.
We're going to save the best for last. So WWE 2K16 came out this week. I know it's a lot of wrestling fans out there that usually enjoy these games.
Yeah, they do.
Like making the characters because you can make some of the weirdest looking characters in a character creation. Wow. And then
I was into wrestling when I was like 10. And ever since then, nope.
I'm not a big wrestling fan either, but that was one of the things I enjoyed when my friend kind of... I'll compromise and play games that other people like to play every blue moon. Okay. If I go to their house.
To be nice to people and stuff. I understand.
Yeah, if I'm in their house, I don't want to get put out for not playing what they want to play.
Yeah. All right, I see.
Darksiders 2 also came out.
What is that?
Darksiders 2 is basically a hack and slash title where you get to play as one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. So probably fits the theme of Halloween.
And hack and slash, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I saw the trailer once. Now that you mention it and stuff, and it's a little gruesome for me. I don't like all that stuff. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
And then, of course, the big title, Halo 5 Guardians.
Halo 5 Guardians. Now, I actually bought this game this week. I'm a Halo person. I normally call off work, but I don't know. So... I've only played campaign mode so far. There's a lot in the game, and I haven't delved deep. I haven't even played much of the campaign. Here's some of my first impressions. One, I don't know if they're trying to like edge the Master Chief out of being the main character and trying to bring in Spartan Locke, the guy who's gonna play Luke Cage, and the Marvel movie, the Marvel Netflix TV show. But I'm spending way too much time playing him. Now, it's team based this time. So you're a Spartan with a team. So you're either Locke with his three team members, and those people in co-op mode can be real people or bots. Or you play the Chief and his three people, which is the blue team. And Locke's team is Fireteam Osiris. And it leaves off from the things that happened at the end of the last Halo game. And one good thing is they brought back some of the Halo theme music. So, I can't complain about that. I have heard it. And so I'm like, that's good. But I'm going to tell you, I don't want to be Spartan Locke at all. It doesn't have the same intrigue as the Arbiter back in Halo 2. The Arbiter missions were awesome. I loved them. But this Spartan Locke thing, I don't like it, man. I want to be Chief. I want to be the Chief the whole time because the story is going to be over with. And basically right now, I think I've spent maybe 70% of the time being Spartan Locke and only the rest as the Chief. And I waited to play the Chief. I don't want to play Spartan Locke. And then some of the cinematics are a little goofy because when the Spartans are like 8 feet tall and stuff like that, and when they have the helmets off and the cutscenes and stuff, they just look weird. They kind of remind me of Velociraptors. They just got this weird, like their heads are like floating over their bodies. But, the voice acting is great. They have top-notch actors. They have Nathan Fillion.
Mm-hmm.
They have,
that's part Luke of what Cage. Got me wanting to get it. Like, I bought an Xbox One for Halo 5, and then I actually decided that I wasn't going to buy it because what killed the experience for me and which people have been ranting about online is... They took out the split screen, but that's part of what created part of the memory for people was they got to play with their friend in the room.
Yeah, they did. But you know something? I personally, that's how I started playing out playing Halo 1 and 2. That was my thing. And then once Halo 3 came out, I got older, people split their ways. And so that experience for me personally had disappeared just because of life. I mean, so far I'm enjoying the game. I don't love it, though. But I'm enjoying it. When they released the Master Chief Collection, had Halo 2 all beautiful, I enjoyed, so far, I enjoyed the hell out of that a lot more than I'm doing this right now. I mean, it's a great game. Don't get me wrong. The gameplay is good. However, I've been playing a lot of Destiny 2, and the controls in Destiny, you know, is actually Bungie, and they seem like the aiming and everything seems to be a lot more smoother with Destiny and stuff. I just can't get myself accurate so far with Halo 5, you know, which I learned how to be a first person shooter, you know, gamer with Halo.
Halo was the first person shooter that I played, because I was pretty bad at first person shooters, and it was the first one. And then I started playing Borderlands, and I started playing other stuff. So, yeah.
So that's my thing. I haven't played enough of it to sit around and recommend it or not. Or, I mean, to be continued the next week when I play some more. So
yeah,
I'm done. Go ahead.
And then, since we're keeping up with the theme of Halloween, this is my choices for franchises that will give you a scare when you play them.
What you gonna scare us with? Go ahead.
Doom. Yeah.
I played that once. I don't know how scary it was. Well, go ahead.
Did you play Doom 3?
I played Doom.
The original Doom? That's why.
You're laughing at me now? It's all right.
Silent Hill, if you want to be freaked out. But that's more psychological.
I didn't have a PlayStation either, so. Wasn't that a PlayStation game? Silent Hill? Yeah, I didn't have a PlayStation.
PlayStation,
so. But I used to see people.
They did have ones for Xbox.
After over, you know, after nobody cared anymore, then it came to the Xbox, I believe. But
see, the thing about Silent Hill that makes it so creepy is that not because you see creatures, it's because it messes with you psychologically. You hear noises and you look back and you don't see nothing. It kind of plays on you being paranoid.
I will still say the scariest game I've ever played was Resident Evil 2. I don't care what nobody, it still scared the shit out of me. I mean, really.
So. Okay. And Dead Space.
Yeah, I've never played that, but I've heard that it was pretty scary.
And I also have on the list Resident Evil. Because Resident Evil 2
Resident Evil
scared
2
the crap out of
scared
me.
Scared the hell out of me.
And 3 with Nemesis chasing me kind of scared me a little bit. Because you never knew when he was going to come back.
I played Resident Evil 2 on I think it was a Super Nintendo, man. It was back in the day, boy. Woof, woof. And you used to walk and all you hear was. You hear the wind.
Yeah. And it was creepy.
It was.
Because you would see like a pile of zombies sitting over there, or like some dead bodies, and you go past there, and then you go back. And
you know what I hate? The door would be silent, and you would open the door, and it would go through that load screen. And then you get in there, and it's like 15 zombies in there, and you just like, and you're stuck, and you got to go back to the door. So anyway, okay, we got to move on. But yeah,
and the last choice of the scare franchises for me that I picked that scared the crap out of me is Fear.
I don't even know what the hell that is.
Fear is a first-person shooter, but basically, as you're playing through the game, like, there's a bunch of parts where just, like, you'll see this little girl pop up, then she disappears. Like, you'll see her at the end of the hall, next thing she in your face.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
Like, weird symbols being drawn on the wall, gotcha. Types of creepy stuff. Just, like, a lot of stuff that you don't expect it to happen.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, is that going to do it for gaming?
That does it for gaming.
All right, we'll be right back in just a flippy jiffy. We are back with our comic section, and today, as mentioned before, we are discussing We Are Robin number 5 and Justice League, The Dark Side War, Batman 1. I'm going to go first with number 5 of We Are Robin. The story is by G. Bermejo and George Corona. That's the artist there. So I like the art. Say that right off the beginning. And the art is it's better than it was in the last book. The last We Are Robin book, I think it got a little too styly. Now there's still a little stylized artwork in this book where they kind of look a little cartoony, but still got that serious edge to it. So, we've been reviewing these books. So this is after they've had the one person in their group, one of the Robins, gets killed. So they're kind of trying to regroup.
Yeah.
Story starts out with one of the Talons is actually trying to recruit followers, and he has a homeless dude trying to recruit, and he doesn't like what he's recruiting, so he ends up taking care of him. And you know, he wants to get him young. He said he wants young people. So they jump over to one of the Robins, and she's a Latino lady, and she works in a
diner,
a Greasy Spoon,
and a dive place,
right? And somebody's bothering her, and she starts fighting this person, but then his gang gets involved, and then the Robins show up and they beat the hell out of them, and they move on. And
but what was messed up about it is that it was her brother.
I mean, they're just gang members and stuff. And so the Robins are depressed, and because they haven't heard from the Nest, and that's the person, if you've been reading this book, that's been financially, you know, keeping them stable, been giving them the suits, been giving them the weapons, been giving them the intel, everything. They haven't heard from him since their mate was got caught in the explosion. So they're kind of having that we should probably disband talk. But then a big truck shows up because the Nest person, who I'm not going to spoil who that is, sends a Mack truck full of weapons and stuff. And so they kind of get re-energized and reorganized, and they're ready to go out there and do their thing. Now, won't spoil the end of the book, but I've been loving We Are Robin. I mean, everything that's been happening in this book is just been super duper. Batman is not around, and Jim Gordon is Batman now, and he told him to go, you know, stop doing what they're doing. And so they don't feel supported by Batman, because some of them don't know it's not Batman. One of them knows 100% sure that it's not the Batman that they know, but they want to help, they want to do stuff, but things just got crazy. Now, this story, Akita, I don't know if you know it, it's leading into a big arc with the Robins. They're about to do this big long, you know, event, should I say. It's gonna be like through the other Batman books, Robins. It's gonna be in Dick Grayson. So they're about to do this big story arc. What's going on with all this stuff? So I don't like events, but I'm gonna get into that one because I'm really digging everything that's happening, especially with this We Are Robin story. So that's my book. I recommend it 100%. We Are Robin is a solid read week after week. They did 5 issues in, and it's great. What do you got?
I have the Justice League: The Dark Side War, and it's #1 for Batman. And the artist is Peter J. Tomasi and Fernando Passerin.
Yeah, it sounds good enough to me.
Okay. So basically, I think they're, after the events that are going on in the main Justice League story, it seems like they're doing side stories with some of the characters. So this one is Batman's story. He's still in the chair of Mobius that's feeding him all this knowledge. And basically, in this book, he has a god complex. So he's been going to crime scenes and stopping the crime before it even happens. Yeah. But Jim Gordon has an issue with this because now all of these criminals are flooding, like, the police station, but they can't actually book them because they didn't actually commit the crime.
It's Minority Report. You can't prosecute them for what they were going to do. And so he's the god of knowledge in this chair. And so all the Justice League people, they dispersed, and they're all gods of this, gods of that. So this is his book here. So
And that's pretty much what's going on. But some of the things what he's been doing to get back at the people is,
some of the things were cool.
Yeah, like he puts some guys off in Antarctica that were about to go rob like some type of
and they shot
liquor
him.
Store.
They shot a hell of bullets at him, and instead of like taking him to jail, he takes him to Antarctica, and it's the warmest spot in Antarctica. He said 50 miles that way, they can get to where they need to go. And so I was like, damn.
And then the other guy was about to go kill his wife. He took him to the Amazons.
Therma Skirma.
Yeah, Thea Skirma.
And said he was going to beat the shit out of his wife and stab her. He's yours. I'll come back and get him in a little bit. And they was like, shh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. So, I mean, it's been interesting, but I don't know, Akita. I'm not so sure if this is a, you know, because then he confronts, you know, he confronts somebody from his past, and it gets real deep. But it's not a central read to the story. It's just interesting stuff.
It's just kind of showing what he's been doing while he's floating around in a chair. Because when you read the actual Justice League book, people are like, you haven't been helping us, and it's all this stuff going on. You just been floating around on his chair high and mighty. He hasn't actually been like doing his teamwork with the Justice League.
Well, actually, this happens after the events of the last Justice League. So they all dispersed. And this is what he's been up to since they dispersed. So
what I do find interesting though is that the chair, he's actually been sitting in it so many days that he's like bleeding out of the ears, eyes, and nose and from being that, in this chair. He says
the chair is like sustaining him, but I don't know, man. Of course, it's gonna be a damn problem, man. You know, it's not built for him, and so you know, I'm interested to see where all this Justice League Dark Side War is gonna go because. You know, Darkseid got the axe and stuff, but you know, we know there's multiple universes with multiple Darkseids, so it doesn't mean he's gone forever. But it left a hole in this universe, and that's why these powers is all out of check because an essential thing in the universe is gone. You know, it's like the Force. It's like one of the no Sith and all Jedi. So you know.
Yeah, I like the artwork.
Artwork is top notch.
It was
it's beautiful.
An interesting read, but I don't think it was like I don't think it pulled me in as much as the actual Justice League.
No, it didn't mean either
with this one. So
it
I
was
mean,
okay.
I if just, you like Batman, then I would say go ahead.
Yeah, I kind of just powered through it because once I started seeing it was just this and it was just that's just that. I was like, this is a filler. This is a money grab here.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's so, what it came off as.
Money grab, DC, money grab. So. That's it?
Yep.
All right. That's all we got for comics today. We got two comics, and we'll see y'all in a minute. Let's get to our main topic. Let's talk about a little scary, spooky, ookie, bookie, dookie stuff. So, I'm not a big horror fan. Most of the horror movies I have watched were classic, and that's the topic today. We're trying to talk about some of the we kind of wanted to number them, so I might even keep score over here, but we wanted to go with classic horror movies, man. You know, as far as you know what we feel like is some of the best ever made. Now people could agree or disagree. You know, if you disagree, let us know. If you agree, let us know.
Well, most of the stuff that I watched more recently as an adult just didn't scare me. So I really had to think back to my childhood and what movies made me have nightmares, keep the light on, want to sleep in the bed with my mother, all of that stuff really think of movies. Because the newer stuff is just, it's not scary.
Well, most of the stuff is, what do you call that? Gore fest, man. You know, torture porn kind of crap, you know.
A lot of the stuff that I watch wasn't even gory or torture. It's just they show you the monster and the monster look real stupid, so you're not afraid. It's like it looks like a puppet on strings.
Okay, so okay, just throw five of them out there. Throw five movies out there, that classic horror movies that you think is like is up there.
It
okay, what else you got?
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
Probably one of the top of the list right there. Nightmare. Gotcha.
Pet Cemetery.
You know what? At the time, it was a scary movie. I'm still writing Elm Street. Pet Cemetery. Yeah, I seen that movie. What
Children
else?
Of the Corn.
Scared the hell out of a lot of people. Didn't really scare me, but it's a scary movie. Children of the Corn.
Well, I don't like riding past cornfields to this day.
So it's the job was accomplished. And what else you got?
Poltergeist.
One of the biggies. And I forgot all about Poltergeist. They just did a remake of that. I didn't want to see it because
I didn't want to see it either.
I'm so stuck on the first one.
That little old creepy lady from the first one. She scared me. She wasn't even a scary character.
This house is clean. Right. So, okay, five that I can just think of right off the back. Now, Nightmare was on mine too, but I'll say something else right off the back. Phantasm. You ever heard of Phantasm?
I heard of it, but I don't know if I saw it.
Phantasm, one of the greats.
Somebody put that on my list on my cosplay page when I had them tell what their scary movies or movies that frightened them as a child. Somebody put that up there.
Do yourself a favor, honestly, and watch Phantasm. It's from the 70s. It's a scary-ass movie. I'm sorry. It got a couple little cheesy parts to it, of course, because it's a horror movie. Because it gets into this like trans-dimensional type of stuff, and it gets a little goofy. But for the most part, it'll scare the hell out of you. And it didn't have to do too many effects to scare you. It's got this guy, he's called the Tall Man, and he walks with this deliberate pace, you know. So
that sounds creepy enough, because I don't like Slender Man.
Well, I think that's where they got the idea from Slender Man. From Phantasm. Yeah. The Shining. You ever seen The Shining?
Yeah, I did.
You know, The Shining was a scary-ass movie right
here's
there, boy.
Here's Shining.
Red Ron. So, The Shining. Damn, I'm looking at stuff that I got written down here and trying to
Hellraiser is not that scary to me. It was when I was younger.
No, it wasn't. Probably the scariest movie of all time is probably, in my opinion, is probably The Exorcist. Just, you know, scared the shit out of you. And
Pumpkinhead, I mean, scared me.
Pumpkinhead, wow.
Candyman definitely scared me.
That didn't get me at all. Okay, Amityville Horror, the original with Lois Lane. Margot Kidder was in that movie. Scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, it's not the most scariest movie in the world, but it started something. Friday the 13th, not the first one, but the second one. That's actually when Jason was running around looking like a Ku Klux Klan member because he had a pillowcase on his head and he was running around after the mother had killed everybody in the first show, killing everybody. And then it really started that whole, you know, concept of a psycho killer running around. I wanted to throw Halloween in there, but I'm just thinking off the top. I love Halloween too. Funny enough about Halloween, I watch it almost every Halloween. I'll be watching it tonight. He kills 8 people in the whole movie. Mm-hmm. What a difference that, you know, what they do now, you know, as far as body counts and stuff, you know, just so many people die in these movies and stuff. But the very first Halloween part one, it was like 8 people. I sat there and counted and was like, man, it wasn't even that bad, you know, but at the time it was bad.
That's a lot of people. I mean, when it's isolated to a small town, it's different if 8 people die in the United States. If 8 people die in a city of whatever, then in a little city.
But still, you got to say, like, even with the horror movies that in the later 80s and stuff like that, body counts went way up. You know, it wasn't a horror movie.
Well, when they do horror movies, like one that creeped me out when I was a kid was Body Snatchers. It was the aliens were taking over people's bodies.
It was called The Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah, so by the time you get to the end of the movie, you didn't know who was human.
All right, Akita, slow up right now, because what I want to do is we threw this little 5 out, right?
Yeah.
So what was so scary about it?
Yeah. When they were flipping through the book, and the clown was like walking up in the book.
It's always a goddamn clown in all these movies.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised. I mean, I have friends who are terrified to go to the circus today. They don't like clowns.
Because of that movie or just clowns?
Because of that movie.
Got you. So
I guess it was the fact that he still was messing with them. Like, he would show up in their house. He would pop up at the library. He was just everywhere.
So, what about Nightmare on Elm Street?
Nightmare on Elm Street, number one, the song. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for
scary,
you.
Scary, creepy, very
yeah,
creepy.
Creep me out.
Very creepy.
And the fact that somebody could get you when you go to sleep. Right. So, you got to stay awake.
So, did it keep you awake for a while?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to go to sleep. I don't want to go to sleep.
Remember seeing Johnny Depp? The one that really got me in that movie was when Johnny Depp got killed, because he was just sitting on the bed with his little headphones, and then all of a sudden he got pulled inside the bed and all the blood was, oh god, that was a horrible kill.
It creeped me out.
All right, what about Pet Cemetery? What got you on that one?
The idea that you could bury your beloved pet and it will come back from the dead.
Let me tell you something.
You.
The goddamn cat Church was scarier to me than anything else in that movie. That cat was a creepy movie because the cat came back and the cat was just cat was scary as hell.
It's just the fact that I guess it wasn't even the fact that it was pets. I was just thinking about if you was to bury somebody on a plot and then they just came back from the dead.
He ended up burying his wife, right? And then she came out and then she was kissing him and that goo came out her eye.
The ideal of somebody coming back from the dead is just creepy in itself. Anything. Like, you bury your friend and then they come knock on the door.
Sounding like you had a problem with little zombies. So
I don't like that. No, that's some necromancer type stuff.
So what about Poltergeist? What got you?
Poltergeist?
Mm-hmm. Well, you already said
it was really the little creepy old lady.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I don't know why.
All the shit getting thrown around in the house didn't scare
you? Yeah, it did.
And how he was so focused on that little girl and stuff. It was.
And then I guess it creeped me out because I kind of had some really weird supernatural experience living in this house that was kind of like haunted. A bunch of weird stuff happened.
Okay, we don't want to hear about your psychosis. Let's talk about the movies here. All right, so what did I say? It's Phantasm. I kind of already hit that. I talked about the big dark man. I mean, the tall man. The tall man was scary and stuff. And then there was also these balls, like T-spears, like from that would fly. They were silver spears, and they would like fly by themselves, and then they would like, these knives would come out of them.
Oh no.
And they would like hit jam people in the head, like, so it was like, it was bad, and they would like, they would be like moving at like, you know, 200 miles per hour, you know, chasing people and stuff. It was a trip. That was scary. The Shining, Jack Nicholson sold that whole thing. The big old hotel, even though none of the scenes were like darkly lit or even creepy, every scene in that movie was like super bright. The lights were on.
Well, he was just creepy because he was already the Joker in it.
Well,
he's just creepy.
He did his job. And then when he went after the wife and stuff, and then listen, them damn creepy ass twins that was on that had got murdered, you know, with the red rum. Oh man, that was scary. Exorcist. Do I even have to talk about the Exorcist?
No.
It was just holy. Just
I still to this day have not watched it all the way through, and I am terrified to watch it. I think that it would give me the worst nightmare.
It would. It's bad.
And when I read about the reports about the actress that played in that movie, she had lots of psychological problems.
I think about to start getting into goofy stuff. So Amityville was bad enough because I lived in a house, and that damn house looked like it had eyes. And so after I saw that as a little kid, I was walking around my house looking for the walls to start bleeding and stuff like that. And then the get out, and then the flies. And then they always said it was based on a true story and shit too, you know. And so it was like, oh, you bastards, you know. So that made that super bad. It already hit Friday the 13th.
I had a friend that my mother would take me to their house. They lived in this big white house that looked like that. And I would not want to stay.
I don't want to go, mommy, no.
My mother would be like, I'm just going to be gone for 2 hours. I'm like, that's enough time for something to happen to me.
All right. So we got this list here. And I'm not saying this is the top list of scary movies on the whole planet, but just for this year, for what between me and you, what we're doing here. So out of this list, which one do you think is the top one? What's your top one off of this list here?
The top one,
the scariest one on this list. For you.
For me?
Yes.
That I wouldn't be able to watch it again. It would have to be The Exorcist, because that's a movie that for some odd reason I cannot bring myself to watch again.
And I'm going to go ahead and co-side with you and say absolutely it's The Exorcist. The scariest one on this list. Actually, The Exorcist is so far more scarier than any of the rest of these movies. And we want to throw an honorable mention in. We're going to throw in a number 11 for Halloween. But it's so far more scarier than any of the rest of these classic horror movies that, you know, it's in a class all by itself for me. I mean, really, to be fair, we should probably pull The Exorcist out and then judge the rest of these, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
because if somebody came with a DVD like, you ready to watch The Exorcist? I'd be like, let's turn all the lights on.
Yeah,
get my teddy bear so I can cuddle it.
So that's the Halloween show, y'all. Tell you what, I'm gonna try to put you on the spot. You want to call out our social media real quick?
Social media, you can go to fansonpatrol.com, and that's where most of the main links are. We have Instagram. We are also on Twitter. What else?
Facebook.
And Tumblr. Podbeam.
Yeah, the show's broadcast on Podbeam. And we're on Apple's iTunes, and we're on Stitcher. We're also, we have an Instagram account. Check us out on there. I've been trying to generate more people over there. For some reason, like, we got like a bunch of followers here, a bunch of followers there, but that Instagram is like minuscule. So we want to try to get that up. So come and follow us, and we throw in some good stuff that's not on the other stuff from time to time.
And if you have not purchased and you decide that you wanted to purchase any of the games we listed in the gaming section, indeed, come to indeed. Our page and hit the Amazon link and go get your game from Amazon. Amazon been giving out deals.
Yeah. So
you might want to check it out. Might be a great time. Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, hook up your people over here, because every little purchase you do, they throw a little something, a little change our way, and that's a great thing that keeps us on the air and stuff like that, and try to offset some of this cost, because podcasting is expensive. And with that, let me see. Do we have anything else to do today? I think we might be done, Akita. I think we got through our Halloween show. I'm going to try to get this out today. If I don't, tough titty. Anyway.
Hey, nobody say Candyman in the mirror tonight.
Or Meriwether. What was it? Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary.
Like yeah. Bloody Mary. That's three times. So I say it again. Beetlejuice. Anyway. That's going to be it, y'all. We're going to see y'all next week. And next week, I think we're doing the James Bond flick. So we'll check that out and stuff, because I'm excited to see that, regardless of what some of my nerd podcast mafia brothers and sisters feel about that. I love James Bond. I'm going to go check it out.
I want to see it, too.
So with that, I'm your host of Fans on Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the lovely
Akita O'Aki, a.k.a. Jessica.
Oh, shit. I interrupted that thing. Jessica. Anyway, we'll see you guys next week. And until then, we will be
on patrol.